Evening Under Lamplight on Cambridge 105 Radio.
Here is a special announcement. Today is Tuesday, and not, as is announced in today's Sunday Telegraph, Friday. And now, a repeat of last Thursday's performance of Monday Night is Music Night.
Welcome to our special Evening Under Lamplight on this 4th of July, coming to you from Cambridge 105 Radio with me, Robert Louis Abrahamson. Yes, the 4th of July, a celebration of independence on the grounds of self-government. When a government unjustly rules, so declared the Declaration of Independence on or around July 4th, 1776, when a government unjustly rules a country, the people of that country have the right, the duty, to withdraw their allegiance. We hold these truths to be self-evident, the Declaration of Independence proclaims, with all the limitations of their 18th century attitude towards women and non-whites. We hold these truths to be self-evident. That all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or abolish it, and to institute a new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to effect their safety and happiness. Prudence, indeed, will dictate that governments long established should not be changed for light and transient causes, and accordingly all experience hath shown that mankind are more disposed to suffer while evils are sufferable, than to right themselves by abolishing the forms to which they are accustomed. But when a long train of abuses and usurpations, pursuing invariably the same object, evinces a design to reduce them, to reduce the people, under absolute despotism, when a government does that, it is the people's right, it is their duty, to throw off such government and to provide new guards for their future security. That's what this day is technically meant to celebrate, this revolutionary justification for the people to take action against unjust rulers. Jefferson admits that we don't do such things lightly. We prefer to suffer injustices as long as we can before taking a stand. But there comes a time when the injustices become so acute that we must take a stand. Such a declaration takes on new meaning this year, not just obviously in America, but in many other places too, which I'll be too tactful to mention. All those unalienable rights that cannot be alienated or taken away because they are innate and belong to every human being by birth. The right to life. A person of color has the right to drive in a car without being stopped by the police and then shot because the policeman perceives a dark skin as life-threatening. The right to liberty. A person has the right, say, to protest unjust government policy without being arrested and thrown into jail. And the right to the pursuit of happiness. A person oppressed in one country has the right to seek refuge in another country, has the right not to be treated automatically as a criminal or other kind of undesirable person, and the children have the right not to be dragged away from their parents. All these unalienable rights. But if a government becomes destructive of these ends, as Jefferson says, then it is the right of the people to withdraw their allegiance to the government. I spoke several months ago about Henry David Thoreau's ideas about civil disobedience, but that sometimes is only a start. These are issues we all should be discussing these days, and how people will withdraw their allegiance and what will be the outcome is beyond our understanding. But now, to mark the publishing of the Declaration of Independence on July 4th, and to recall us to where we stand these days, let's attend to this.
I'd like to say a few words in defense of our country. These people aren't bad, nor are they mean. Now the leaders we have, while they're the worst that we've had, are hardly the worst this poor world has seen. Let's turn history's pages, shall we? Take the Caesars, for example. While in the first few of them, they were sleeping with their sisters, stashing little boys in swimming pools and burning down the city. And one of them named his own horse to be consul of the empire. That's like vice president or something. Now, that's not a very good example, is it? And here's one. The Spanish Inquisition put people in a terrible position. I don't even like to think about it. Sometimes I like to think about it. Just a few words. Defense of our country. It's time at the top could be coming to an end. Now, we don't want their love. Respect, at this point, it's pretty much out of the question. But time like these, we sure could use a friend. Hitler, Stalin, men who need no introduction. King Leopold of Belgium, that's right. Everyone thinks he's so great. Well, he owned the Congo, and he tore it up, too. Took the diamonds, took the silver, took the gold. Know what he left him with? Malaria. President president once said, the only thing we have to fear is fear itself. Now it seems like we're supposed to be afraid. It's patriotic, in fact, and color-coded. What we're supposed to be afraid of? Why, of being afraid. That's what terror means, doesn't it? That's what it used to mean. Pisses me off a little when I think that this Supreme Court's gonna outlive me. Couple young Italian fellas and a brother on the court now, too. But I defy you. Anywhere in the world, defy me, two Italians as tight ass as the two Italians we got. And as for the brother, well, Pluto's not a planet anymore either. The end of an empire. It's messy at best. This empire's ending, like all the rest. Like the Spanish Armada, drift on the sea. We drift in the land of the brave, in the home of the free. Goodbye, goodbye, goodbye.
Well, actually, that's very moving. Of course, John Philip Sousa's Stars and Stripes Forever is one of the all-time great marches to get our hearts beating fast and get us moving. But it feels a little sour these days, that American patriotism turned into nationalism. And so we brought in Frank Zappa to scratch the record and lead us into Randy Newman's Few Words in Defense of Our Country, a song written in the time of George Bush, but even more relevant today. This time at the top could be coming to an end. The end of an empire is messy at best. This empire's ending like all the rest. Like the Spanish Armada adrift on the sea, we're drifting, the land of the brave and the home of the free. Goodbye, goodbye, goodbye. An amazing ending from Randy Newman, who amazes us time and again. But it is a dire time, not just in America, but everywhere. Not the worst we've ever seen, as Randy Newman reminds us, but threatening enough. And yet, so much of our culture seems to be just providing entertainment to amuse us and distract us. Much of this felt to me like evading the crises in the world around us, though I don't want to be too harsh on people who need their spirits lifted. I mean, even Evening Under Lamplight could be accused or labeled as merely providing amusing entertainment, though I think we've also been featuring important, mainly non-political, issues such as myths of transformation or the call to face life with a playful rather than an overly earnest attitude. But this week I felt in the mood for something a little more, well, somber. Let's not say depressing, it's not that, but something that more extensively addresses the seriousness and darkness of the world we live in. And we can still be playful about this, as I hope you'll see. And so, I propose to do something new, something I don't think I've ever done before on Evening Under Lamplight. I'm going to spend the show attending to the songs of just one album, Bob Dylan's 1989 album, Oh Mercy. It's not one of his albums on critics' list of top albums, though everyone welcomed it when it came out, as a return to Dylan on form after many fallow years. But I've always liked it and have always felt moved by the songs on the album, and I think it might do us good to spend an evening here under lamplight just seeing what happens when we attend to these songs. We won't get through the whole album, but we'll see what we can, and need I add that you are invited to attend. Oh Mercy has a unity to it, if only because it was so well produced by Danny Lanois. I'm not qualified enough to talk about production issues or even to talk much about musical influences and qualities. But I can talk about the words and about the feel of the songs. In our sorrowful, broken world, sometimes all we can do is look around us and pray, Miserere nobis, have mercy on us. We can't go any further on our own. Oh, mercy. The first song on the album is Political World. We live in a political world, as we hear on the song over and over, the opening line of each stanza. As with most of the tracks on this album, we have Dylan's own words about the writing and recording of the song, as told in his Chronicles, Volume 1. In 1988, he was blocked. He hadn't written for a while, and he was suffering from what he feared was a debilitating injury to his hand. Was he washed up? He thought he might be. But he tells us, one night when everyone was asleep and I was sitting at the kitchen table, nothing on the hillside but a shiny bed of lights, all that changed. I wrote about 20 verses for a song called Political World, and this was about the first of 20 songs I would write in the next month or so. They came from out of the blue. They were easy to write, seemed to float downstream with the current. It's not like they'd been faint or far away. They were right there in my face. But if you'd look too steady at them, they'd be gone. The song moves rapidly through the lyrics, which depict a broken-down world where love don't have a place, a nightmare world where everything is political in the sense that it's all just a struggle for power over others. The song is a kind of catalogued song, like many of Dylan's greatest songs, and the vivid, surreal imagery works on us as we catch it moving past. We live in a political world. Wisdom is thrown into jail. It rots in a cell, is misguided as hell, leaving no one to pick up a trail. That's the place of wisdom in this political world. We all know that. Well, here's an image to illustrate it vividly for us. There are 11 of these quatrains. Catch them as they go by.
We're living in times where men commit crimes and crime don't have a face. We live in a political world, icicles hanging down, wedding bells ringing, angels singing, clouds cover up the ground. We live in a political world, wisdom is thrown into jail. It rots in a cell, misguided as hell, leaving no one to pick up the trail. We live in a political world where mercy walks the plank. Life is in mirrors, death disappears under the steps of the nearest bank. Children are unwanted, the next day could be your last. We live in a political world, the one we can see and feel, but there's no one to check, it's all a stacked deck. We all know for sure that it's real. We live in a political world, the cities of a lonesome fear. World. Under the microscope, you can travel
We live in a political world. Everything's a hers and his. Climbing to the flame and shout God's name, but you're not even sure what it is.
Political world, sound like any world you know? The political world in the song, Dylan says, is more of an underworld, not the world where men live, toil, and die like men. There were about twice as many verses as were later recorded, he says. Verses like this. We live in a political world, flags flying into the breeze, comes out of the blue, moves towards you like a knife cutting through cheese. Like a knife cutting through cheese? That's a Smokey Robinson kind of line. It was good to have left it out. All right, next on the album comes Where Teardrops Fall. It sounds at first like this is going to be a celebration of some paradise haven. Far away where the soft winds blow, far away from it all, there is a place you go. A place where you can rest from the sorrows and oppression of the political world? No, a place where teardrops fall. And it turns out to be a kind of love song, a love song that comes out of the place where teardrops fall, where everything is lost, but you, whoever this you might be, a lover or God, or aren't they often the same thing in Dylan's later songs? He's down to what King Lear calls unaccommodated man, blind in this dim light, but holding out to this you as a means of redemption. I've torn my clothes and I've drained the cup, stripping away at it all. And at the end, I just might have to come see you where teardrops fall. Where else can you come to see this person of the depths? So, Where Teardrops Fall, with its plaintive opening, getting us quite ready to respond deep down in the gut.
Soft winds blow far away from it all. There is the place you go where teardrops fall. Far away in the stormy night, far away and over the wall. You are there in the flickering light where teardrops fall. We bang the drum slowly and play the fife lowly. You know the song in my heart. In the turning of twilight, in the shadows of moonlight, you can show me a new place to start. I've torn my clothes and I've drained the cup, stripping away at it all. Thinking of you when the sun comes. Where teardrops fall. By rivers of blindness, in loving with kindness, we can hold up a toast if we meet. To the cutting of fences, to sharpen the senses that linger in the fireball heat. Roses are red, violets are blue, and time is beginning to crawl. I just might have to come see you where teardrops fall.
Where Teardrops Fall, the second track on Dylan's Oh Mercy album, with that surprising and appropriate sax riff to close it off. The next song is Everything is Broken, a song that uses the word broken 34 times. If Political World was a catalogue song, this is an even more frenetic catalogue, with its succession of short phrases, one thing after the next that's broken. Watch how this verse moves from broken physical objects to the less tangible but more painful breakages. Broken bottles, broken plates, broken switches, broken gates, broken dishes, broken parts. Streets are filled with broken hearts, broken words never meant to be spoken. Everything is broken. And then the pause in the catalogue to register our shocked response to all this. Seem like every time you stop and turn around, something else just hit the ground. Doesn't that resonate with every sensitive, thinking person looking around at the political world today? Seems like every time you stop and turn around, something else just hit the ground. The song, Dylan says, was made up of quick, choppy strokes. The semantic meaning is all in the sounds of the words. The lyrics are your dance partner. It works on a mechanical level. Everything is broken, or it looks that way, chipped, cracked, in need of repair. Things are broken, then rebroken, made into something else, then broken again. I thought of all the best things in the world, the things that I had great affection for. Sometimes it might be a place to start an evening from and go all night, but then these places become broken too, and can't be pieced back together. There's a smashing and crashing of furniture and glass. Something just breaks and gives no warning. Sometimes your dearest possession. It's beastly hard to fix anything. There's no relief in this song, just lots of energy, as if perhaps that were enough to get us through, at least through the present moment, anyway.
Strings, broken threads, broken springs, broken idols, broken heads, people sleeping in broken beds. Ain't no use jiving, ain't no use joking. Everything is broken. Broken bottles, broken plates, broken switches, broken gates, broken dishes, broken parts. Streets are filled with broken hearts, broken words never meant to be spoken. Broken laws, broken bodies, broken bones.
Everything is Broken, the third song on our featured Dylan album, Oh Mercy. There are extra verses for this, too, Dylan tells us. Broken strands of prairie grass, broken magnifying glass. I visited the broken orphanage and rode upon the broken bridge. I'm crossing the river, going to Hoboken. Maybe over there, things ain't broken. Well, yes, if you have to keep finding rhymes for broken and you want the name of a place, you have to choose Hoboken, won't you? So maybe over there, things ain't broken. That, Dylan adds, was my bit of optimism to go along with a song like this. And actually, over here, things ain't broken either. Over here, that is, at Cambridge 105 Radio, and specifically at Evening Under Lamplight this evening. I'm Robert Louis Abrahamson, and I'm sharing with you these songs from Oh Mercy, which I think give us the right feel for times like these.
When the day comes to an end, he invites you to attend Evening Under Lamplight on Cambridge 105 Radio. When the day comes to an end, he invites you... No. When the day comes to an end, he invites you to attend. It's Evening Under Lamplight on Cambridge 105 Radio. It's Evening Under Lamplight on Cambridge 105 Radio.
Thank you, Neil Henry, adding a bit of levity here. But back to Oh Mercy now. The next song is Ring Them Bells. It feels like a tired song, but not a debilitating tiredness. There's a heavy weight upon this singer, but he manages to pull out these lines anyway. It's an end-of-time song. The world's on its side, and time is running backwards. Oh, the shepherd is asleep where the willows weep, and the mountains are filled with lost sheep. That's us, of course. We're the lost sheep up in the mountains, with our leaders asleep among the weeping willows. But still we ring the bells in defiance of all the broken things. Bells to keep ourselves awake and to give notice to everyone all around. Bells to lament and bells to celebrate. Ring them bells for the blind and the deaf. Ring them bells for all of us who are left. Ring them bells for the chosen few who will judge the many when the game is through. Ring them bells for the time that flies, for the child that cries when innocence dies. Oh, the lines are long and the fighting is strong, and they're breaking down the distance between right and wrong. Dylan had reservations about this last line. There was one line in the song that I was trying to fix but never did, he says. The last line, breaking down the distance between right and wrong. The line fit, but it didn't verify what I felt. Right or wrong, like it fits in the Wanda Jackson song, or right from wrong, like the Billy Tate song, that makes sense. But not right and wrong. The concept didn't exist in my subconscious mind. I'd always been confused about that kind of stuff. Didn't see any moral ideal played out there. The concept of being morally right or morally wrong seemed to be wired to the wrong frequency. Things that aren't in the script happen every day. If someone steals leather and then makes shoes for the poor, it might be a moral act, but it's not legally right, so it's wrong. That stuff troubled me, the legal and moral aspect of things. There are good deeds and bad deeds. A good person can do a bad thing and a bad person can do a good thing, but I never did get to fix the line. And nor should we. We have to remember to resist such rigid categorizing as right and wrong, and yet we must nevertheless keep vigilantly alive to the distinction between just and unjust. The principles are always there, but their application is always far too complex for any rigid judgments. And none of that should stop us from ringing the bells or attending to the bells that are being rung.
Ring them bells, ye heathen from the city that dreams. Ring them bells from the sanctuary.
pilgrims cross the valleys and streams, for the deep and the wide, and the world's on its side, and time is running backwards, and so is the bride. Ring them bells, St. Peter, where the four winds blow. Ring them bells with an iron hand so the people will know. Oh, it's rush hour now on the wheel and the plow, and the sun is a-going down upon the sacred cow. Ring them bells, sweet Martha, for the poor man's son. Ring them bells so the world will know that God is one. Oh, the shepherd is asleep where the willows weep, and the mountains are filled with lost sheep. Ring them bells for the blind and the deaf. Ring them bells for all of us who are left. Ring them bells for the chosen few, who will judge the many when the game is through. Ring them bells for the time that flies, for the child that cries when the innocence dies. Ring them bells, St. Catherine, from the top of the roof. Ring them from the fortress for the lilies that bloom. For the lines are long and the fighting is strong, and the breaking down the distance between right and wrong.
That was, do I really have to say, that was Ring Them Bells. The next song is The Man in the Long Black Coat, a song we attended to not that long ago on Evening Under Lamplight. It's different from the other songs on the album by being a narrative. It tells a story set in Dylan's mythic American West, a land of lawlessness, roguishness, unaccountable actions, lines blurred between righteousness and villainy, between right and wrong. In other words, a mythic version of our own present world. Or let's let Dylan speak about the nightmarish effect of the song as recorded. The dread intro gives you the impression of a chronic rush. The production sounds deserted, like the intervals of the city have disappeared. It's cut out from the abyss of blackness. Visions of a maddened brain, a feeling of unreality, the heavy price of gold upon someone's head. Nothing standing, even corruption is corrupt. Something menacing and terrible. This could describe any song on the album, couldn't it? The lyrics try to tell you about someone whose body doesn't belong to him, someone who loved life but cannot live, and it rankles his soul that others should be able to live.
Thank you. crickets are chirping, the water is high. There's a soft cotton dress on the line, hanging dry. The windows wide open, African trees bent over backwards from a hurricane breeze. Not a word of goodbye, not even a note. She gone with a man in a long black coat. Somebody seen him hanging around at the old dance hall on the outskirts of town. He looked into her eyes when she stopped him to ask if he wanted to dance. He had a face like a mask. Somebody said from the Bible he'd quote, there was dust on the man in the long black coat. There's a sermon he gave. He said every man's conscience is vile and depraved. You cannot depend on it to be your guide when it's you who must keep it satisfied. It ain't easy to swallow. It sticks in the throat to give her heart to the man in a long black coat. There are no mistakes in life, some people say, and it's true sometimes, you can see it that way. But people don't live or die, people just float. She went with a man in a long black coat. There's smoke on the water, it's up in there since June. Tree trunks uprooted beneath the high crescent moon. Feel the pulse and vibration and the rumbling fuss. Somebody is out there beating on a dead horse. She never said nothing, there was nothing she wrote. She'd gone with a man in a long black coat.
The man in the long black coat. We know nothing more about this than we did at the start. Something's just gone on, but it's just gone past us, hauntingly, mysteriously. All we're really left with is that enigmatic image of a man in a long black coat. We can speculate all we want, but we'll never get any closer. Now, we're not going to be able to get through the whole Oh Mercy album, and, well, there's always the next show to carry this over to. So let's move now into our final song of the evening, Most of the Time. This is a love song, a song from a broken-hearted lover, sort of. Most of the time, he doesn't think about her at all. Most of the time. What an expressive understatement, repeated 14 times, implying that, yes, alas, there are times when he does think about her and remembers what her lips felt like on his, and these are times too painful to bring out in the open. Most of the time, I'm halfway content. Most of the time, I know exactly where it went. I don't cheat on myself. I don't run and hide from the feelings that are buried inside. I don't compromise, and I don't pretend. I don't even care if I ever see her again. Most of the time. Watch the way the drums keep up a persistent, haunting rhythm behind the song, like the thoughts of her always there, even if most of the time we're not really thinking about those drums or thinking about her at all. All right, thanks for attending with me here, Robert Louis Abrahamson, together most of this time on Cambridge 105 Radio with Evening Under Lamplight, where most of the time we're clear focused all around, right? These songs from the Oh Mercy album have been a good workout for our imagination. That is, both stimulating our mind and moving our heart. Mine, anyway. Yours, too, I hope. And a few minutes left, so look, here's an outtake of Most of the Time. A little different. More poignant, or maybe not. But anyway, see you next time.
Yeah.